You are great. It's your name, in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion. Their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of a craftsman, and the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. For the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen.
Amen.
Our God is a true God.
Amen.
He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him we believe, Jesus the Son of God, who died and rose again from the dead. He died for our sins, and he rose again for our righteousness. This morning we acknowledge him again. We acknowledge him for the whole universe to hear. We say Jesus is Lord. Everybody say that.
Jesus is Lord.
Say it again.
Jesus is Lord.
One more time. Jesus is Lord. And from him we have come to receive a free infilling of the Spirit this morning. And because we know he's good and he will grant it to us, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I've been filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Good morning.
Good
morning. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, you know, there's something I did earlier in the year. Now, there's a series I've been on for some time talking about the goodness of God. But there's something I began to do earlier in the year. Sometimes we just take a message. It may not be part of a series. What I want to do this morning, therefore, there's something that's been on my mind for some time, maybe a few, about 2 weeks or so, but which now stayed since yesterday or day before. And I feel like that's what the Lord wants us to talk about this morning. And then we'll go back and continue what we've been looking at about the goodness of God, all right? Today I just want to pick a particular topic which I call the Spirit of the Age, or I may change the title slightly along the line, the Spirit of the Age. The Spirit of the Age, or resisting the Spirit of the Age, overcoming the Spirit of the Age. Anyway, it's about the Spirit of the Age. All right, we'll find a way to summarize it in a caption. Now, what am I talking about? There's a book I read many years ago. Let me start with that. The book is by Frank Peretti. It's titled The Oath. I don't know how many people here have read The Oath. Now, before The Oath, we read This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness. But 19 years ago, The Oath was released. I read it shortly after it was released, The Oath. So it's been a while, so I may not get the story accurately, but I have a general picture, all right, I can recollect. But there is something about it that I remember once in a while, and that's why I want to use a book to illustrate, to start my message this morning. You can read the book. I mean, it's a Christian novel, The Oath by Frank Peretti. Now, if you read This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, he talks about angels. So you see, he overlapped the activity of angels and evil spirits with human beings. So somebody is running away from an attacker, but he will paint a beautiful picture of that deliverance actually being arranged by some angelic forces. I remember one girl that was running away, and an angel jumped into a car and turned the head of the man driving. Look. So he saw the girl running away. To him, he was driving. He just looked in that direction. And he told the man, pick her up. Now, he didn't hear anything. His wife told the wife, oh, look, that girl looks like she needs help. And the woman said, okay, I think we should help her. So they stopped, and she entered into the car. Where spirits were pursuing her to kill her. Are you getting my point? And angels were defending her. But on the surface, how the deliverance manifest, a man driving past just gave her a lift, he and his wife. And physically, human beings were pursuing the young woman to kill her. But in the realm of the spirit, you see demons trying to kill and angels saying no. All right? Beautiful way he dramatizes those things. But when he got to the oath, he didn't talk much about evil spirits. He didn't talk much about angels. But he talked about a dragon. Now, please follow my story from here. He talked about a dragon that was killing people in a particular town. And somebody would just die mysteriously. The dragon would just either eat the person up or blow fire on the person. People were dying. And it was a dragon killing them. But there was a particular man in that town who was not, he knew about the dragon. They thought he was crazy. He was planning to kill the dragon. And the dragon was literally afraid of him. And he knew. And the dragon knew. So everybody is afraid of going out. He's never afraid of going out. And he told everybody he's going to kill the dragon. And I can't remember how the story ended. But because there was issues about debts and all of that, a detective was sent here. Somebody came to investigate the debts. And there was a police woman there that was taking the fellow around. Was a, of course, a female officer, like I mentioned. So, now this guy too was immune to the attack of the dragon. Now, let me pause. There was something that, now, I read the book quite a while ago. It's been a while. Definitely over 10 years. Nothing. I think it should be about 15 years ago or more that I read the book. It came out 19 years ago. Now, so I can't remember the details. But there was something about it. Everybody in the town had a mark on them. That is like a mark on their chest. That bled. It's not literal blood. It was something else that, it wasn't red blood. It was something else that oozed from it. It was like a mark. Now, it didn't call it a mark of the beast, but they just used the word mark of the beast. Okay? Now, that mark showed that they connected to whatever evil spirit was in the air. That man that was not afraid of the dragon didn't have it. The man that came out of town, even though not a Christian, did not have it. That local man was a Christian. The one that came from out of town was not a Christian, but he didn't have the mark. So he kind of was immune to the attack of the dragon. And he thought it was a myth. He probably didn't believe there was anything like a dragon there. And he kept on doing his investigation. Now listen to this part of the story. This is where the story is going. The police woman was attracted to him. Are you getting my point? All right. Lustfully attracted. But they were walking. So the walk continued for some time until the attraction became something else. And then finally one day, he took the woman. I think she's a married woman, maybe separated from her husband or something. Not very sure of that. And maybe he's also a married man. Again, I can't remember for sure. But finally he went to bed with the woman. When he woke up in the morning, there was a small ache on his chest. There was a small swelling there. Let's make a long story short. He had connected with the spirit of the air. That's the story I want to tell. Now, I can't remember how the thing ended, but that was when he suddenly was subject to the attacks of that dragon. But he didn't know. I can't remember how the story ended. But that's what I remember. How he connected with that spirit. Let me recommend two of my books to us again this morning. They are out there. You can download them easily. If you're listening from somewhere, please just go to our website. Two of them. One is titled, it's a small book, Someone is Controlling You. The second one is Worship and Sex Control. Please, read both books. All right? I don't care how stubborn you think you are. Please read both books. Do you get my point? Unless you can't read. In which case, Junior Israel is planning to make it into an audio book for you. But the audio book is not for those who can read. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. And so he's not releasing the audio book for the next, how many years? So go and read it. One is titled, Someone is Controlling You. The second one is titled, Worship and Sex Control. There's another book I should recommend. I didn't write that. It's by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest. Please read The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. I did not write that one. I don't know how you can get it, but I don't think it's difficult to find. All right, it's all over the place. Even PDF copies. I mean, these books have been around for a long time. I mean, Final Quest is definitely over 25 years around. Okay? So please get these books and read. You must read. God invented reading. He created reading for a purpose. Read your Bible. Reading is a crucial thing. You know, if you see, you know, I had an auntie. She's late now. She gave her life to Christ maybe in her 50s or so. Yes. She wasn't literate. As soon as she joined the church, the first thing they did was teach how to read. These modern day churches, I hope we do that. You go to a rural area to go and evangelize. As soon as you settle down, start adult classes if the people there are not generally literate. Reading is crucial to existence. Books, you read your Bible. There are books in heaven. God writes books. He writes, for each person before you come, he has written a book about your life. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah. God loves books. Jesus made reference to it in the volume of the book. Do you follow my point? God, you see, from very early times, God made sure, writing was not, there were no two baboons going around, they made marks, it became writing. No. God taught people how to read and to write. Do you follow my point? Reading is crucial. You must be a reader. Don't forget what I'm saying. I'll get back to my message. I've not lost track. I just want to emphasize why you must read. This generation has a lot of distractions. When I was young, and it's when we're doing, you see, when you finish WAEC and you have to wait for WAEC results, you finish your senior secondary school exams, you have to wait for the result, or you did jump, you have to wait for admission. The only two things the boys did, play ball and read novels. I don't know what the girls did, but they also read novels. But apart from playing ball, I don't, any woman old enough to be in that generation here, yeah, I don't know what people did, but we boys wake up in the morning, go and play. In the evening, you read a novel. And our competition, our real entertainment was not the ball. How many hours could you play? But we could read novels for hours every day. Your mother will say, your mother will call you, come and go and do something. She'll say, please, I'm coming. Let me see what happened here first. Yeah, we used to do that. Mommy, please, please, just 5 more minutes. Let me see what's happening. They are chasing the man. Let's see whether they will catch him. It's a novel you are reading. You know why? There were no computer games. There was no social media. There were no smartphones. You have to wait till 4 for television to start. To keep yourself entertained, we will read novels late into the night. You wake up late because you were trying to find out whether Detective Levski will catch the guy who shot the man. But this generation, you know what they have? Smart devices. They stay up at night. Of course, if they pay for cable TV, you will be flipping channels. Flip, 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 flip. Television is on 24 hours a day. When television is not a TV, you have a TV in your hand. Different sizes. The 8-inch TV, the 14-inch TV, a computer, and then the 6-inch TV. Watching all kinds of things. Now, it's supposed to be good, but it became a distraction. Now, should you use your TV? Yes. But what are you using it for? So please, learn. Use your smart devices. No channels you subscribe to. Subscribe to good podcasts. Download podcasts and listen. And still read. That's my small aside. Make sure you're always reading. If you are reading, you're automatically smart. Do you get my point? See, no matter how naturally intelligent you are, if every time you open your mouth, you talk nonsense, you're a fool. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not about natural intelligence. And one of my friends in school those days, there was something I realized about him. In fact, he inspired me. It was from his mouth for the first time I heard of John D. Rockefeller. And he was speaking in fellowship. And this guy is my classmate. And I'm looking like, what is he talking about? Do you follow my point? Then I realized something later. If you and him, let's say we're going to visit somebody. As soon as you sit down, he has picked the magazine there and is reading. He's distracted with reading a magazine, reading a novel. His father was a teacher. Reading culture was with him. So when we read a lot of fiction, he had read real facts and read a lot of magazines. So after that, I changed the kind of thing I was reading. No, you have to start reading things that gave you information. Do you follow my point? All right? You suddenly becomes, it has nothing to do with natural intelligence. It's either you know, you don't know. I hope you get my point. So I tell young people, fill your head with information. When you open your mouth to talk, you will sound so wise. You'll be able to tell somebody why you think Donald Trump won. You were not in America. You read about it. Do you follow my point? But you know, don't from football to you play ball, you watch ball, and then you play games. You will look like a stupid person. When they're analyzing politics, you'll be looking like, They removed the subsidy. You don't know what's a subsidy or why. You should. Take a newspaper every day, all right? And read, for even if it's 15 minutes. Know what is going on. Please, I'll get back to my message. I'm just trying to educate, help people. The Bible talks about two groups of persons, fools and the wise. Now, if Solomon talks about the wise and he's talking about fools, he's not talking about somebody with brain damage as opposed to somebody who's a genius. All right? No. What he just meant about fool, Solomon, is an ignorant and uninformed person. Do you get my point? Tell your neighbor, please don't be a fool. Say it, now beg the person. Now, it's not about natural intelligence. It's about, are you informed? If they say they're removing subsidy, don't say, no, you're a teenager. You can know what is called subsidy. Read about it. Please, don't finish all your life scrolling away on YouTube. We all do it. We have to discipline ourselves that this scrolling is enough. Let me not talk about how to manage that side. I don't talk about social media. But I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that you must go out to fill your head with what? Information. That's a smaller side for young people. Please, you live in a generation where the distractions are plenty. Please, I've taken some of my crucial time this morning to beg you to be informed. I hope I get my point. The only way to be informed is to do what? Read. Mingle with the wise. I don't want to get distracted too much. I'm watching myself. Please, stop watching stupid series on television. There are channels you shouldn't subscribe to. Z-World, Telemundo. They should never be found in such places if you're a Christian. They fry your brain. You see, if you watch it constantly for like a year, go and weigh your brain after. You will have lost a few grams of brain size. Why are you frowning your face? Are you guilty? And then smile then if you are not guilty. No, I'm not joking. No. If every day I enter your house, you're watching Africa Magic, you're watching this thing, your brain is reading. These are the causes of dementia people don't know. But when you're 65, you can't remember anything again. You know why? Your brain has lost weight. Your body is gaining weight, but your brain, little by little, is going. I'm just begging you, all right? Learn. Having said all of that, what should we read mostly? Read the scriptures, read spiritual stuff. I gave you 3 books this morning to read now. By the time that's next Saturday, you should have finished reading them. What are the 3 books? Rick Joyner's Final Quest, Worship and Sex Control, and Someone is Controlling You. Read them. You become wise. There's something the word of God does to you. It just makes you wise. There's something my sister told me the other day when she came to visit. Of course, one of our Bible students. Say when she had to work, when she's talking to people, they said, look, don't do this. They say, that's how you always be doing. Make a long story short. They invested in MMM. They all lost their money. She didn't lose a dime. People will come, market this scheme to them, market this scam to them. She will look and say, this thing will not work. Then They won't lose money. She won't lose a dime. They will come and scam them with, you know, herbal medicine and all of that. Then one day, somebody asked her, how come you know all these things? You know her answer? I just hear when pastor is teaching. That's all. The answer is, as I'm hearing God's word, they instruct us about these things. He said, because it's where I listen, where I spend my time. When people are not at work, what are you doing? You can't watch Z-World most times and have sense. It's not possible. It's not possible. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. The Lord is good. Please, that's 15 minutes of my crucial time. People will pay back. Now let me get back to my message, all right? Now I'm going to start again from the beginning so that you'll get the catch, the trend. So, you know, I started by talking about a book. What's the name of the book? The Oath by Frank Peretti. And while talking about that, I explained about a man who came to a city and picked a mark and he picked it through sexual immorality, all right? Which he didn't call that, but that's what it was. And then I now said, please read these three books. Now, why did I mention each of the books? I took a small side trip, explained the importance of reading, feeding your brain, all right? So why did I recommend those three books? I'll tell you why. I recommended Someone is Controlling You because, now this is the truth, you are going to learn from it. Your life is not under your direct control. See, what will happen to you today, where you will go today, is not a decision really you are making today. This is a result of decisions you have made in previous times. Literally, listen to this. Spirits push people. Some people will say that, hey, I don't know what happened though. Satan pushed me. They will now be laughing. I say, hey, save it. Listen, the Bible tells us or told us that before Judas could betray Jesus Christ, Satan pushed him. Yes, entered into him and carried him there. Do you get my point? You know, one of our sisters made a decision long ago. I won't tell you the gist about it. But I'm not talking about that sister, her friend. He said, let's call that lady's name, Eve. She said, Eve doesn't have that boldness. I need to know where she got it from. Do you follow my point? I didn't forget that. She said, Eve, I know her. She didn't have that boldness, that she doesn't have it, that she must have gotten it from somewhere. Later on, we found out where she got it from, all right? It was a good thing she did anyway. But she said she didn't have the boldness to do that kind of thing. It was a good thing though. But I remember I said that she shook her head. In fact, let me give you exactly what she said. If not get liver, she not get that kind liver. She was speaking in Pidgin. The boldness came from somewhere. Ezekiel said, the spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. Fact. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, it works both ways. Positively and negatively. A man gets up one morning, a young man takes a gun, goes to rob somebody and shoots and kills somebody. When they catch him, he's wondering what happened. You know the truth? A spirit entered him. I heard Ken Hagin tell the story of one man, a psychologist, clinical psychologist, who was studying criminal minds. And his spirit entered him. And he started molesting young girls. And his wife left him because she felt that one day, she didn't know how she knew, but she knew that one day, this man will murder one of those girls. And that he will be arrested and sentenced to death. So she left. But before she left, or she was going to leave, before she left, she begged him. They came to an agreement that she would stay if he agreed to go and see a preacher. That was Kenneth Hagin. And as we were telling the story, the man said just, he didn't see, but the descent of spirit. He realized there were two evil spirits pushing the man. The man was in front of him, calm. But the spirits will get up one day at a time, suddenly push him. And he will not be able to resist. Let me make the story there short. Initially, he didn't agree to pray for him because he said, if I pray for this man, And it doesn't do what I'm saying. It's going to come out worse. And he gave a scripture for it. Seven spirits more wicked. So they begged him. He said, look, it's not about begging. I have conditions. Will you follow the conditions? I don't know whether I was really a Christian or he agreed to give his life to Christ. Number one. Number two, he agreed to pray every day and study the scriptures every day. And listen to me, and end his career. Yeah, he had to. He was a psychologist, studying criminal minds. The man said to him, the spirits, now, back to what we were saying earlier, even though I didn't intend to say that, the spirits entered him from the books he was reading. The very minds he was studying was from the pages of those books that the spirit entered into him. One day, one of my guys, we were very young, he did something, he said something. I know, it was a bit beyond my league for my age that time. We were listening to classical music. Now, please, I'm not saying classical music is bad. That's not what I'm saying. And we were listening to Michael Jackson. You want to be, you get it? Okay, we used to call it, you get it something. You get it something. No, you will grow up, later and realize that that was not what he was saying, okay? So I went to see a friend of mine, and this guy was, they were exchanging tapes of classical music and jazz. No, it was not classical, it was jazz, sorry. They were saying jazz, you know, not modern jazz, old type jazz. What is this? So he said to me, he laughed. He said, I don't understand. That when you play it like they just sit in your room, just play it, close your eyes. He said, you will see spirits. And he laughed, and I thought he was joking. I asked after him 3 years later, he was mental. Oh, they said, I didn't hear, no. I said, they're taking him to hospital, he's not normal anymore. All I remember was him laughing. I said, no, this is how you get the spirits. The spirit said, no problem, we are coming. And when they came, they took his brain, turned it upside down, screwed it the wrong direction, you know. And something from one behind, they just kind of rearranged the brain. And when they finished rearranging your brain, come on, you're not normal again. This other man, from the pages of the books he was reading. Small aside again. This world, this is not the Bible calls the air, the prince of the power of the air, is not a neutral place. There are kingdoms there, and they strategize every day. And part of their strategy are the things that they give to young people to read and to enjoy. Entertainment is a major place where Satan plays. When I say play, I don't mean have fun. I mean where he plays his game. You say, sexual immorality is not enough. Because they get, now listen to this, spirits are empowered. Evil spirits are empowered by iniquity on the earth. God and his angels, they are empowered by righteousness. If righteousness does not reign on the earth, you weaken the hands of the angels. Like I was talking about it on Tuesday. There's a kind of prayer you need to say before God releases Michael into your atmosphere. Michael doesn't go there to do Jackie Chan and Jet Li. His presence is authority. It doesn't go there like Frank Peretti I was talking about, the fight. No. That's not novel Frank Peretti did write for us. Real life. If Michael walks in, everybody knows the level of authority that appeared. They don't resist it. They know. You have to know your authority level. And there's a kind of evil spirit that comes in also. Even Satan, Michael will pause and say, the Lord, he has to invoke the Lord into the situation. You know, look, they're authority level. So the people there, they are not just there. Let's do arm wrestling. Let's see who's strong. They know who is stronger. So there's a level of righteousness that allows certain spirits to be released from the Lord to us. So when the demons don't like it, when Satan doesn't like it, they have to corrupt the atmosphere. So they say, the immorality is not enough. What do we do? Get me a young guy, give him music, let him blow. They anoint the music, negatively speaking now, so high. You'll be streaming 1 million every day. Everybody will be singing it. What are they singing? Oh, I pick one girl, I pick another one, I have three of them with me, one in the last episode, and then boys will be doing bang, bang, bang. See, they are drinking. It's not entertainment. Like one man of God said, whatever entertains you, enters you.
Sin is entering them. That's why I said it before. Go and check it. Sexual Revolution. They had to make James Bond. James Bond was a successful movie worldwide, but check James Bond. He was known for one thing. People didn't know. It was not about subterfuge. It was not about jumping from the air. It was about sleeping with all the girls. So at the point in time, I saw a picture of James Bond. I think it was Roger Moore, one of the James Bond anyway, and his girls. There were like 20 girls. Of course, it looks like an innocuous shot after the movie. But what they say, come on, real men are promiscuous. James Bond was a real, in quote, man, but he was always sleeping with every... If you ever see his movies, he met a girl, 3 minutes later, he's in bed. They use that to desensitize the young people. It's deliberate. See, don't think it's deliberate. It's deliberate. A spirit is being released. So when the people start committing immorality, there are principalities that are enthroned. So please, don't. They're not playing. You're the one that thinks it is play. It's not play. It's not play. These are deliberate strategies released. When Satan said, bow to me, to Jesus Christ, I wasn't joking. I'll talk about it again as we go on now, this morning. I wasn't joking. As long as people think I've been superstitious. Some people are unduly superstitious. I agree with that. But let me tell you the truth. A lot of people that you know, especially in entertainment, that make it big, they are making millions of dollars every other month. They literally sold their souls to the devil for it. Yes, I don't believe you just be superstitious and everybody is successful. There's one man who made music one time. I don't want to be too successful. It's as long ago, not today. The whole country was dancing to it. I just listened to it. Even sang about that. They said he went and joined the cult. In my mind, I said, okay, you did. We know enough to know you did. This success is not human. What did you sing? I won't give you the correct you, but it was nothing more than that. And that's it. The whole world, at least in this country, were bowing at his feet. The things you read in scriptures, they are real. Satan came to Jesus and said, look, bow to me. Is there entertainment? Again, because we are streaming, I don't want to say some things, all right? Because people just yank it off online, all right? Before you finish like this, they've taken it off and they keep archive it. I don't like that. So that's why I don't give you some names. There's one very famous international star once. I just said, what does this girl do? So this worldwide fame is satanic. I said, this is, look, I'm not bragging, but God gave me the ability to discern some things. You've heard me say things again and again. And it's proven right later. I just hear one. I said, this one, forget. I may not know the name of the cause, but these are people who shed their own blood. Sometimes the blood of their offspring, you don't know. Some of them terminate pregnancies as an offering. They say, you're being superstitious. What? I said, leave that thing. When people used to pass their children through fire, when God warned Israel against it, you think they were doing just because they hated children? They were making payments. How did the king of Moab get victory? He sacrificed his son that should have reigned in place of him, after him. Some of them will say that, no, it's choice. Just my body, my choice. It's a lie. Some of them say, I need money. Somebody say, you're pregnant, right? How many months? 8 months. That's what we want. They say, I went to a partial birth abortion. Crap. This girl just offered that child's brain and body parts. And then say she would design one pangolo. She would sell 10 million units. What is in that pangolo? We put sorrow inside. And every girl in the world will buy it. If you talk, let's not deceive ourselves. People make offerings for success. Some sacrifice themselves, some sacrifice their children. The easiest one to sacrifice in those countries without anybody catching you is unborn. If you take a 2-year-old and he disappears, they will look for the person. No, take an 8-month-old. Nobody asks questions. That's 8-month-old pregnancy. He will ask. You can go to court and be defending Roe versus Wade. You can be fighting about my body, my rights. But it was never about your body. It was about making an offering to what the Bible calls destiny and fortune. Those are two gods. So please, I was talking about, what do you call it? Someone is controlling you. So those spirits, they need to be fed. They act upon you. That's why I wrote the book, Someone is Controlling You. You can't control what you do. You only control who's controlling you. I hope you get my point. That is, you decide. Many times we talk about the spirit upon us. So if I'm here now, and I start running up and down, and I'm vibrating, and I fall down, I get up, say, oh, Pastor Bank is under an anointing. That is the one we know. But do you know what I found out? Studying scriptures all these years, and teaching and living as a believer. Many of those gyrations we do, they are eye-catching. When it happens, all right, we're excited. Oh, man, that meeting was powerful. All right? But you see, those things happen. Now, you never saw Jesus fall under the power. Did you see Jesus fall under the anointing? Did you even hear that Peter fell under the power? Or Paul? Or James? Or John? I'm not saying they did not. All right? Please, follow what I'm going to say. I'm not being critical. I'm giving you facts. The greatest anointing that ever entered this earth at the time was when Jesus was baptized. After he was baptized. And he entered one person at a time. The anointing was so strong, it was visible. Bodily. I don't want to get into theological arguments now to talk about the Holy Spirit. People are arguing about the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit as a person that's on the earth now was not there then. How do I know? Jesus said, I need to go back for the Father to send him. So what did John see? What did John see? It was a totality of the anointing of God. So strong. See, when the anointing is heavy, it becomes physical. When the anointing is very strong, you start hearing of the glory filling the temple. People can see it. One man of God was describing, he wanted to pray for somebody. As he brought out his hand, bam, the thing discharged as visible fire. When the anointing is strong, it contorts molecules in the air. Distorts it. That's why you start seeing clouds, you start seeing fire, you start seeing bush burning. Of course, the bush was not burning. The fire was just resting. Do you follow my point? The presence of God just showed up. It was so intense, it was like a flame. You know where I'm going with the whole thing? The one that came upon Jesus was that intense that John could see it. But that's not the gist. The gist is that it landed on Jesus and entered him. Say, I took a drink now and I didn't fall. Did I fall? Just trying to wet my mouth. Did I fall? That's how Jesus drank the spirit and kept on walking. Now, this is my interpretation. You can disagree and you'll be right. I strongly suspect, and I think I believe, that I didn't see a physical dove. He was explaining the dove effect. That we don't need to be drawing the Holy Spirit as a bird. Because Jesus said, be wise and serpent, and what? Yes. He was describing the gentility of a dove. That this man drank all the anointing, the heaviest anointing the earth had ever seen. And it was as if Banky drank a glass of water. And he kept on going. So he said, the Holy Spirit came upon him, resting upon him like a dove. Now listen to me. When it came upon Saul, he went crazy. And not only him, all the sons of the prophet in front of Samuel. Did you hear that Samuel went crazy? No. Now, where I'm going is this. How you react when the Holy Spirit comes has a lot to do with your pre-existing capacity. It has a lot. Jesus had the capacity, drank the whole Holy Spirit like that. It was as if he drank water. Why did I mention it? See, the real work of the Holy Spirit is not fall down during baptism. The work of the Holy Spirit was when he left there. Do you follow my point? After he left there. See, if you went for a meeting, all of you fell down, rose up. Next day you go to work. Your work is not better than before. You preach is not more powerful than before. You lay hands, there's nothing better than before. You just went to church to play. What did I say? That was play. Just the play. That service. Some people now come back for the next play. And young people like to fall. Like one man said, if pastor greets you, you fall under the power. He said, fall. According to that, my life ended. He said, stop falling, bring money. there was something he was talking about. But I can adapt it in one particular way. Don't fall, please. Use that power to go to your business and prosper. Then bring our portion. Is that not a better way to handle the anointing? Then I'm just walking, oh, you hit the floor. Hallelujah. You hit the floor. At the end of the day, the ones walking in sin are still walking in sin. The ones sick are they still sick. The one that used to go to work late is not going early. Because if anointing hits you, you start going to work on time. If you're a salesperson and you go for an anointing service, next morning when you start selling, everybody rush to your shop, say, man, there's just something about him. But you say, I beg you, look, we should hurry, just buy something if you want to buy me. I have to go to anointing service. There's no anointing. There's no anointing. Look, you have to learn to have your life powered by the Spirit. But let me sit on the main thing I'm trying to say. See, the real Spirit, when it enters into you, it starts moving you. When the Holy Spirit enters Jesus, it moves him into the wilderness. See, as a man, Holy Spirit enters you, go home. Your children will know you are different. And you rise up next morning, you are still different. And if it starts wearing off, go and take your Bible and read it again. You ignite. Paul talked about kindle. You know, you kindle that spirit that is within you. It makes you a good husband. It makes you a good worker. It makes you a fiery preacher. You are a preacher. If your words are not hot, go and get the anointing. Next time you read the same scripture, just read, let us pray. And everybody's like, wow, did you hear him say, let us pray? So then I felt like praying. Prayer came into me. All he said is what? Let us pray. It's no longer an admonition. It's an empowerment to pray. That is what the Holy Spirit does. When I say someone is controlling, you know, sometimes I just, my wife at home, we're just talking. I said, we did this in university those days. I said, now. It's so funny. I said, now I know it was the Holy Spirit. That time we didn't know. I look back and I say, that was the Holy Spirit. Because I can't imagine that an 18-year-old would have done that. In my mind, I go, what? How was I at that time? And I did this. I look back. It wasn't me. It was those meetings we went for. That was and then they lay hands on you. Some people, if you don't fall, they push you down by force. Listen, leave the falling thing. When we left there, we left with something. We just did not know. People bragged on the falling, rising. No, the real thing was what happened after. I went to a church after I graduated, where I was doing my house job. I was made a Bible teacher. Years later, I came to visit, and they showed me their Bible study material. They were bound into a kind of book. And they were showing me the things I wrote. So I was saying, no, I'm not the one that wrote this one. They said, you were the one. I said, no. Come on, be real. In my mind, I did not know as much as this when I was here. They said, no, you wrote it. I found that I can't remember the exact, maybe something between almost half of the whole book. They said it was what I wrote while I was there. I worked with them for maybe like, all of that must have happened like 9 months. I would look and say, I'm the one. Okay, and then I came back a number of times afterwards. And I'm looking at, I wrote this. They say, yes, these were the studies you prepared when you were here. And I'm like, no. You guys must be joking. They say, no, they're not joking. That you wrote this, submitted it, they typed it. You know what I didn't realize? That is what they called the Spirit. It wasn't my intellect. It wasn't my natural ability. That's what Paul meant when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I've been preaching for some years. Some of the testimonies I hear, as people are talking to me, I'm looking at them and I'm just smiling. Like, pinching those who are with me. This guy is not serious. He said, I did that. It's not possible. Not me. That was before. But now, I have understanding. I just know that. You know what? Isaiah said, the Lord has sent me and his Spirit. So, when you are telling me what happened, I know that is not me. It is the Spirit that the Lord sent along. So when I spoke, the Spirit went and did the work. The Spirit rides upon the words. That's not my natural ability. And this Spirit is available in every area. Not just preaching. If you're a scientist, they talk to you. See, all these scientific discoveries you see, you think is human, people could not see. If you know, even on the earth, there are times God releases a kind of spirit into the air. It catches different kinds of presence. Some of them are unbelievers. As long as you're in a laboratory and you are tinkering things, God says, no, I need to bring power, electric lighting into the earth. So many of those discoveries, you see two different scientists working in two different parts of the world, will come up with them at the same time. The argument should still be on years later on who did it first. It's a spirit in the air. Listen. Someone controls you. It's not your natural. So what you can do is to yield. I've emphasized whether for good or for bad, people are under your control. If you read the book, someone is controlling you. That's what they will learn. And we Christians are supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is supposed to enter into us and move us. Now listen to this. Satan does not like that. It will thwart his desire. It will confirm the will of God. And when the will of God is fully fulfilled, he enters into the eternal fire prepared for him. He knows he will get there, but he has to delay it for as long as possible. How does he delay it? There's only one way. He keeps corrupting the seed of God on the earth. That's what he keeps doing. He has to postpone. You see, there are things that will not happen until certain conditions are fulfilled. Satan will not go to his place until the church has fulfilled certain conditions. So he works every day to undermine. So what does he do? Spirit is supposed to control you. He said, no, my spirit must control these people also. That's why I said you should read the other book, Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest. In Final Quest, Rick Joyner will explain to you how many Christians are actually working for Satan. There are pastors who go to church, I'm sorry, and their message is a satanic message. They open it with a Bible reading. You know? They start the message with a Bible reading. They concluded with, Father, we thank you for today. But by the time they are done, most people will listen to them. They leave that place to do the will of Satan. Because anytime you are speaking, you are not just transferring information. It is the spirit. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are what? Life. That is, they carry a spirit. It imparts something where they get to. It's not letters. Read through the scriptures. Letters are not the critical thing. That is not the accuracy of words. It's the spirit you are releasing. There are churches I know. I'm sorry to say it like that. When somebody says that this is a church where he's a pastor under, I'm looking at it with suspicion. Yeah, because I know the kind of spirit you are drinking. You see, and that's what will control your life. Where you will get to in life is what will control it to. You can take the letters and listen to the words. They sound accurate. You know the story of that young girl now in the book of Acts. That Paul and Silas, they were preaching. And the girl said, these are servants of God who have come to teach us the way of salvation. Now, let me ask you. Was she accurate? Please, there's no catch to it. She was accurate. Were they not servants of God? Were they not teaching the way of salvation? Why was Paul casting out the spirit? Shouldn't he have just said, please, before I start with this, I have a testimony. One of your locals will testify. And the girl will come. She was under a spirit. No, she had a spirit. I see. Servants of God. Listen, why was Paul so grieved that he had... Now, she did that for many days. Paul was human. He was not a spirit. He was a normal person. So it made sense the first day when she said it, he didn't take offense. Next day she said it, he didn't take offense. But I thought they was getting a bit suspicious. Anytime this girl speaks, the whole place becomes cold. I come with fire, I want to begin to preach. Say, oh, my people, these are servants of God. Oh. Then Paul starts to preach. Then he forgets what he said, what he was planning to say. The people are hardened. Suddenly everybody starts getting up to go. She imparts a restless spirit into them. They can't sit. But it's all this. Looks at and it was Silas, right? Yes. Hey, Silas, what is going on? Every time we start preaching, this will start getting restless. Silas says, sir, you didn't notice. It's only after that girl has spoken. Next day, the girl gets up to speak again. And he knows, come here. Like we say in Nigeria, thunder fire you there. What kind of nonsense is this? Come out of her now. And then the spirit departs. Now, let me not talk about the girl much. Let me talk about the influence. She was releasing a spirit into the air. Even though the words were accurate, the spirit was wrong. Even though the words were accurate, the spirit being released was totally out of order. That's how it's possible to go to a church. And listen, again, being a preacher is a disciplined professional. Yeah, it's like military. You discipline yourself. The recruit says something, God help me, let me do as that man admonished. He said, I made up my mind I'll be the best teacher of the word that I can possibly be. He told the story of one lady, gave us a name, Magufonte, he called her. In his own opinion, she was the best dancer in ballet that the world, at least in his days, had ever seen. He said, I've known that she was a young girl, that dancing defined her whole life. That she couldn't even swim because she had to dance. Why couldn't she swim? He said, because swimming develops the wrong set of muscles that will not help her to be the best dancer. It affected what she ate. It affected everything she did. So he wasn't surprised that she was the top in the game. So he said, I made up my mind. I'm going to be the best teacher of the word that I can ever be. He said, so it affects what I read. He says, not everything you give me that I read. It affects where he goes. It affects who he relates with. Now, this is the interesting part. Will you believe it even at a point in time began to affect what he ate? So because to move to the next realm of ministry, the Lord told him one day, you have gained too much weight, go and lose it. Yeah, so he was praying, he was preparing for the next phase of ministry. So the Lord told him flat, you have gained too much weight, go and lose it. Will it have crossed your mind that the reference, if you ever seen his picture, it you? How many people have seen TDJ in recent times? Yeah, anyways, many people are looking like, what? I knew TDJ more than 25 years ago. I first met T.D. Jakes messages long before I got married. So I've known T.D. Jakes now for at least 28 years. The original T.D. Jakes didn't have a neck. He used to wear a collar, a ministerial collar. You couldn't see it. It was buried. But to fulfill his ministry, I think the Lord told me, boy, drop that thing. So he wrote a book titled Lay Aside Every Weight. Yeah, he has a book like that. Lay aside every weight. Now, back to the reference. So he said everything, all right, that woman did was defined by the fact that she was a dancer. So he took lesson from it. So when Paul talked about discipline as a preacher, that's what I'm going to. Preachers, you have to be disciplined. Because if you are not, you get to the pulpit and mess the work of God up. The prophet told us once that God told him that this particular minister, I'm going to remove him at this particular time, a prophet, leading prophet in the body of Christ. What was the reason? He says, leading the body of Christ astray. He preaches and he leads the people astray. Go and look at that woman, Jezebel, that Jesus talked about. She confuses the people until they start committing sexual immorality. You can teach and preach until people start disobeying God. Yeah. You have to be careful the spirit you release. You can teach and preach until they have confidence only in themselves, not in God. Even in their own self-righteousness. So as a preacher, be careful. Be careful. In Nigeria of today, we have, see, I was talking to some people the other day in the office. They said that, what we did in Nigeria, I said, you can't have it. Nigeria, I say you can't have it. This, you see, you are saying things that will never happen. You know, if people sit down every day and say, the kind of leader we need in Nigeria, I say, where will you get it from? It doesn't exist. But our leader, I said, you know, small aside politics. All right? Just politics. He said, we need leaders that will do this. I said, in 8 years. I said, the Likwa, you not tell Obasanjo that it's not possible. It's on record. Then Obasanjo came in. Of course, a lot of these men came into power determined to rearrange everything in the country. Lee Kuan Yew, the man who made Singapore, that God used to arrange Singapore, he told him that you need at least 20 years from what you have told me. He said, you can't do it in 8 years. It's not doable. Of course, but we gave him only 8 years. He struggled for a third term, and we said, no. Now, please, I'm not here to support third term. They would turn around and say, we need a leader. But it has been established that you cannot do this thing you're asking for. No human being can do it in 8 years. You know, small aside, people can annoy you. He said, look at Rwanda. I said, the man has been in power for 30 years. What's your problem? has been in power for almost 30 years now. Has he hit 30? Almost 30 years. I said, so what noise are you making? Why are you comparing him to people who cannot spend more than 4 years before they kick them out? Or they have to start fighting for another election? I said, don't leave that. Don't just bother to compare. Just for you to understand, when people have a culture, 20 years can't even do it. They need 40. Yeah, you need 40 years to change the culture of a people. Why? You have to have a whole generation that grew up under a new culture. And it takes 40 years to replace a generation. There's a lot of indiscipline around. So each time you see, you have to enforce discipline. Don't park it, they'll park there. You see, a bus driver is going, middle of the road, he stops to pick a passenger. It's the spirit of the air. It's a culture. It's indiscipline. So once he looks, there's no MOT. He looks, there's no police. He looks, there's no traffic warden. He stops in the middle of the road. Said, some people, they see, people do that everywhere. But the majority in civilized places don't do it. Only a minority does. Are you getting my point? So when you find a majority doing something, you need to raise a whole generation. You use the force of law and punishment, whatever it is, to force people to behave differently. Then you raise a whole generation under the new behavior. Then you can relax. That's why you find one governor will come, arrange everything. As 6 weeks after he leaves power, he wouldn't believe, is this the same place that nobody used to park? Because the park was still in them. They were wrongfully parking. Please, let me stay on the main thing. So as a pastor, be careful the influence you pour into people. That's what I'm going to say. Why? Because, no, that's why I went to the politics issue. People say, would it be? I say, it's not a bad leader. As I told people when we were talking that day, I said, listen, the only thing, only spiritual people can transform the people. Yeah, the people of the spirit, the preachers are the only ones that can change the generation. Through the preaching of the word, until people fear God on their own, police or no police. When you say no parking, they won't park because they fear God, not because they fear the police. I said, only preachers can introduce that new culture. So preachers, be careful. It's a job. You discipline yourself. God is, his aim is that through you, he will pass a new culture into people. If you're a preacher, be careful. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I always drop words for preachers. They don't come to the pulpit and say things that God does not want the normal Christian to do. And you say that's what you do. Don't use words like, I'm an African man. You know, if my wife never born boy, I'm first of all, you know, from this tribe before I'm a Christian and you're a preacher. See, God will end your ministry. There's no choice. You better stop saying it. The problem in Nigeria right now, you know what I've told you? Preachers often, I know I'm not popular in this. Preachers make Christians afraid. Preachers divide different tribes in this country. See, you go to America, they talk about racism. I laugh. You know why I laugh? I say, you will have racism until it's eradicated from the church. Until the church eradicates it from amongst themselves, you will never politically eradicate it. It's not possible. You know why? The church is a light. So if you have tribalism, you have division in Nigeria, just go and ask the church people. They are the problem. If you don't end it inside the church, so preachers, be careful. And another thing, I remember I said military discipline, you know? That's what we are, soldiers of Christ. So when you are going to church to go and preach, preacher, forget what you think. Forget your political persuasion. I give God the glory. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But what has happened to me politically a lot of times is that when I finish preaching, people assume who I'm voting for. The day one brother found out who I voted for, Buhari versus Jonathan one time, he said, sir, are you serious? I said, yes. He said, but, I said, but what? You said, quote what I said. What happened was that when I finished preaching, his spirit went to another candidate. Meanwhile, my own spirit was another candidate. You know, I heard everywhere. People were so shocked. Even on radio, do you know I was attacked when I spoke on radio? I went live on World versus World. What they did not know is that the person they wanted me to push was the person I voted for. Except that when I spoke the word of God, I was as much as possible totally neutral. But based on the things I said, they concluded that you must be going this direction. One of the things, just by the way, I said, look, your vote is a sign of, you make a statement on what is important to you. At that point in time, Nigeria had a lot of issues, but one of them was crucial to me. So I voted for this other man. But for the rest of them, what was crucial to them meant they vote for the... Do you follow my point? They were now blaming me that I supported... One day somebody even told me that, if I remember very well, last time you said we should vote, I said, my girl, will you stop talking nonsense? I never did. Where I'm going as a preacher, you go up there, your political persuasion, please, leave it. Just talk truth, 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 truth. I say it again until everybody believes it. This last election was a shame on the church. They turned the pulpit to nonsense. At the end of the day, you know what they did? People became unafraid of them. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah, at the end of the day, they're not afraid of you anymore. They're not afraid. You know, before, they want to balance. Let the Christians not be offended. They say, okay, last time, now they all united against us. We still defeated them. So next time, this is how they will do it. What is it? What is it? And I want to say, don't do like this, brethren. Don't do this way. It doesn't change your personal persuasion. I like to give the illustration all the time. Business by the Spirit. Larry Bucket. Larry Bucket said somebody came up to him and asked for advice. My brother has done me bad. We did business. He cheated me. Members of the same church? Yes. He gave the facts to Larry Bucket. Larry Bucket said, you know what I think? I think you should sue him. You should sue him for everything he has. We'll meet him in court and destroy him. In quotes. He didn't add the word destroy. The one adding the word destroy. So that guy was very happy. He said, thank you. So he picked his bag to start going. And the book said, wait. I've told you what I think. I've not told you what the Lord thinks. So that's how I feel from what you have told me. But let's go to the scriptures. So put out the Bible. I said, you are going to drag your brother before an unbelieving judge. Are there no elders in the... No, he gave him what Paul said. So what do you say? He said, sorry, you can't sue him. Now, let me add my own words. You can go and report to the elders in the church. If he doesn't listen to them, then hand him over to God. They just give me a counsel like that. Now, forget the details, please. Let's not argue about what was right or wrong. I have some other things I would love to add to that. But let's sit on the main thing. He said, my opinion is not what I'm allowed to share with you. I have to share with you what? The word of God, the opinion of God. So preachers, when you are coming to the pulpit, please, stop coming. That's why I talk about discipline. Discipline yourself for the purpose of effective ministry. If your wife annoys you, that's not the topic for today. One brother was going to his church to preach. He told me the title they gave him to preach on. I said, this is a very funny title. He said, yes, people have been disrespecting the pastor. So pastor now wants him to preach on the danger of disrespect. I said, can I talk to your pastor? I said, he's not available. I said, no, I need to talk to him. Please, he needs to allow you on that topic. He said, it's too late. He's on his way to go and preach now. I said, please call your pastor. That please. He should just let you take another topic. Because what I just saw, I've been in this preaching thing for some time. You know what I haven't found out these days? I'm sure you've noticed it. As a preacher, it's very difficult for somebody to tell you what to preach. It's a good topic, and you will do it effectively. Yes, you've noticed it? Yes, I've realized it. So this is if I invite preachers, I give them a general topic. So in such a manner that if you like swing from the Atlantic to the Pacific, it doesn't matter. Like the one we are doing now, we have a number of programs coming up. The first one is Business by the Spirit. So what is the specific topic? Excellence with righteousness. I hope you know you can preach second coming under that topic. Really, if you say, what do you want him to say? I really don't have anything I want him to say. I've stopped wanting preachers to see things. I just pick the preacher based on what I know he, this anointing he carries. When he gets anything he likes, let him do. The next one is what? Ministers Conference. Apostolic Spirit. Now, please. Is the whole New Testament not Apostolic Spirit? What I just know is that my friend is committed to preaching the gospel, to spreading the gospel everywhere. I know he's a man who is not afraid of hardship. I know he's a man who has forgone of some things people are dying to have so he can answer the call of God. That's the spirit I know he has. Come and pour the spirit from here. If you come here and say, hey, prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Preach. Just they do like at the end of the day. Do like that for 3 days. The spirit is released. Once it is right. So preachers, be careful. Anytime you stand, ask yourself, if you are too afraid, don't go and stand in front. You know, before God allowed Gideon to lead the people, he wiped out fear from Gideon's heart. Because if Gideon stood and he was afraid, you know what would have happened? At the point in time, he told him, say, listen, if you're afraid, go to the camp of the Midianites. Go and hear what they are saying. That one dreamt of bread. A loaf of bread that fell upon the whole camp. And his friend interpreted this. Ah, that must be Gideon. That guy is going to kill all of us. So Gideon ran away, having heard that. He said, you see? So he gathered boldness. That boldness, he had to infuse it into 300 men coming against the whole army. And you know the weapons they carried? Pangolo and torch. They carried a jar. And they are told that. He said, whatever you see me do, do. You know, if you see Gideon run, oh, you do? You run. So whatever you see me do, do. So Gideon too had to be bold. I hope you know the way those kind of, those people, how they went to war. You know who was in front? Gideon. So as they are marching, they are following him. I saw one video the other day. I said, oh, more people are struggling. Some lions, not one, a pack. Lion and lioness, and they killed a big animal. And these three Maasai wanted to eat. So they waited and they were watching the lions. They killed maybe like a roebuck, one very big ungulate. So they like almost see food. So they waited behind a bush. They're watching the lions feed. After a while, when the lions are eating small, when their hunger was not so intense anymore, these three men stood up, held their sticks, and walked towards the lion. Like 4 or 5 lions. Now, where I'm going is that the commentator said that they can't break a stride, otherwise they become lion food. So I'm walking towards the lions, three of them, in confidence. Bam, bam, bam. All they had was a stick, maybe a small shield. H. Bam, bam, bam. They kept on walking. The lion stopped to look. Then the head of the pride, the biggest lion, got up and ran. What did all the other lions did? They followed. But it's the commentator I'm talking about. The guy said, those men cannot break their stride. They can't show any form of timidity. They can't slow. Once they came out, they had to keep moving. They walked up. All the lions ran. So two of them stood there, their full height, while one quickly caught a huge chunk of the meat. All three turned again and moved without hurrying, without running, and carried the meat away. The lions waited, allowed them to go. They went back to the eat. Now I'm talking about the faith, the confidence that was necessary to face that lion, those lions. That was what Gideon needed. He couldn't afford to be afraid. Otherwise, the whole of Israel would have been afraid. He told 300 men to come against a whole army. If you're a preacher, when you are standing, what spirit are you releasing? See, do like Gideon. If you are afraid, go and pray. Stay inside the garden until boldness comes upon you. You can't be a preacher that, without hearing the word of God, once trouble comes, say, this country, I don't know what's going on in this country. Those of you are still living here, God bless you. Your whole church, see, and if you're a Christian, stop going to that church. I'm been warning all of you. Stop going to where they wipe out your faith every day. Some pastors come to church, they think they are trying to help us. This country, what you need is information. Last week, did you notice that the president went for the conference of Islamic and Arabic states? There is a strategic plan for Islamization in this country. So, you see, we can't just be lying down there and sleeping. The next week you come. We are in a country where one political party think they are God. You think you are God? You're not God, though. See. It's fear. You are afraid. Don't lie. You are afraid. Be honest. That's not the point. The point is that you have now come to infect us with your fear. That spirit. You are releasing that spirit into us. So many Christians leave church. They are angry. They are bitter. They are afraid. You go to church, JJ. You are happy. When you leave, you are actually, which country has the easiest visa? Why? Because my pastor said we need another plan because with the way this country is going. Pastors, please, it is not right. What did I say?
It's not right.
It's not right. Get off the pulpit. Go and leave. Go and leave. Let somebody else just be teaching the base of salvation. Sinners are saved by grace. Amen. Amen. If you believe, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is righteousness? Righteousness is a gift of God. Just say, let somebody else can just say, don't speak into our lives. You are too afraid. Because by the time you are done, this will be shaking. Election is coming. So people say, hey, what God did in America, let him do it in Nigeria. I say, who told you did not do it? Be careful the kind of spirit you drink. What controls you is not your decision, your mind at that last moment. If you are afraid, please, back to it. If somebody is ministering fear to you, you will make wrong decisions. Did you hear me? Please, I will say this again. Hearing from God the way we say it is overrated. God spoke to me. That's why I left Enugu and went to Port Harcourt. If you say it to me, you may as well have said, I woke up in the morning and I said, Twinkie, Twinkie, Little Star, I'm in Port Harcourt. It doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't. Not because God does not speak to people, but I've been saying it again and again. Because what you hear is dependent on what you can hear. How many times he didn't speak, you created words and put in his mouth. Your fear spoke to you. Your anger spoke to you. Your desires spoke to you. And then, you know, there maybe a woman you like lives in Port Harcourt. And you're not married yet, you're a single guy. You start praying. Start praying. God will tell you to go to Port Harcourt. He will. But it's not God, though. It's that you will not stop thinking of Angela. That's what your problem is. So as you keep thinking of her, you see your friends say, man, you know, I'm praying that we need to open a branch. God will tell you, put your branch where? In Port Harcourt. It has nothing to do with God. It's the desire of you. I've seen people make decisions before. I say, eh? So the Lord began to lead me. I won't give you details, okay? But I feel like, say, okay, you are trying to get closer to this man. Don't lie to yourself. Imagine you are talking to somebody now. So, okay, let's finish this discussion next week. She said, okay. Then now call, say, He said, sorry, I'm at the airport. I'm going to Atlanta. Say, when I get to Atlanta, I will call you. Say, the Holy Spirit said I should go. Atlanta. Me and you spoke last week. It's not a week later. You're on a plane to Atlanta. And you say, Holy Spirit told you. Meanwhile, I know the guy who lives just down the street in Atlanta. Me and you have talked about him before. And I say, Holy Spirit. And you want me to believe. Was I born yesterday? That is what controls us in life. It's a spirit. Listen. Spirits make people commit crimes. Judas, Satan entered him. Spirits make people, or the Spirit of God will make you do what is right, even though you did not even know. Like I say humorously, but it will happen to some people. You will have said, I do, and married somebody. Before your eye opens, say, wait, you mean I agree to marry you? Holy Spirit said, I possess you. That's what I did to my wife. She don't marry me finish before her eye clear. Like, what was I thinking? Too late, okay? Too late. Now, it sounds like a joke, but the truth is that we make critical decisions, and you see, it's what you have been feeding on, who you have been interacting with, that helps you, or that help you make those decisions. It's not you. That is what is inside that book. Someone is controlling you. The last book, I mentioned something about rejoining along the line, how many people are working for Satan, but they are in church. What's the other book I mentioned? Was it three or four? Three, okay, yeah. Worship and Sex Control, I'll talk about that in a moment. Let me get back to where I began from. The story of The Oath by Frank Peretti. I was saying something along the line. Satan is still trying to corrupt the seed of the woman. You must understand something. When God, let's go back to Genesis. Don't open your Bible, I just want to tell the story. When God said, let us make man in our image, Satan didn't like the idea. Many of us don't understand how God speaks. He speaks the things that be not as though they were. He declares the end from when? From the beginning. So when the Bible says, in the image of God created he him, please, it was the end, not the beginning. He just was saying it at the beginning. When he said, in the image of God created he him, it was the end that was being declared, except it was spoken at the beginning. Now, time will not allow us to discuss. Oh, no, I mentioned it earlier. Now, let me quickly ask this question. Again, no catch to it. Was Satan already Satan by the time Adam was made? No, there's no catch to it. Yes. Was the destiny of Satan already declared before Adam came on the scene?
Yes.
So, Adam and the human race were part of a plan that God had, which will end, part of the things that will end, that will come out of that plan at the end, is the eternal annihilation or, you know, imprisonment of Satan. And he understood. He may not have known the details, but he knew where he was going. Like I said to you, he said, look, he knew that if Adam fails, let's use words like human beings, I live longer. I survive for longer. So the failure of Adam is critical. Till now, the second Adam, no, don't assume he can't fail. Jesus himself can't fail. Like God never failed himself. But the creatures that he made, the new creation, the persons he made, can still fail. So Satan has not relented in pursuing that goal. When God made that Adam at the beginning, Satan said, no, this is bad. He said, in the image of God, he said, let us make man in our image. Are you getting my point? He was declaring what the end would be. So this was what God did. Let me go over it again. We talked about it several times here. God made first he made the earth, you know that. Then he made an earth suit for the man. No matter who you are, you need a suit to wear on the earth. Otherwise, you're just a bodiless spirit. So God formed that suit, that body, with which man will live on this earth out of the clay. Do you get my point? But then the real man was now supposed to be formed inside that. So God breathed into him the breath of life. Let us remember, learning biology, whether you're talking about rats, cats, dogs, monkeys, whatever it is, The biology is basically the same. They're all mammals. God didn't breathe into the lion before he started breathing. Did he? He didn't have to breathe into the monkey before he started breathing. So the human being could have also lived with his lungs inflated, his heart beating, his muscles working, without God giving him any special breath. So when the Bible says he breathed in him to breath of life, it was not to activate the body. Because if that was the case, he would have had to breathe into every other mammal. Not only mammals, even the fish. But he didn't. What does that tell you? That breath was not the normal breath. That breath was the spirit of God to begin to form the real man inside that body. And how was the man to be formed? It's simple. It's called the seed. The seed had been planted. Then you now feed the seed. And how do you feed the seed? Of course, the body eats natural food, but the spirit inside eats spiritual food. So God will come in the cool of the day and speak to the man and feed his spirit, and it keeps growing and growing. And then one day he would grow to the extent that he becomes a man, and of course the woman that God created both of them to be. And then he will have said to them, go and eat of the tree of life and live forever. And Satan said, no, that will not happen. That mustn't happen. So how did he do it? He went to them, and then, you know the rest of the story, tempted the woman, tempted the man, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then that day they ate of it, they did what? They died. That is, they were separated from God. Then God said, let us start again. Then he walked and walked and walked. This time around, he came in the body of man. He died to pay for the sins, to cleanse everything that had been messed up. And then after resurrection, he came to them again. Listen to me. And he breathed into them, what? The breath of life. And Peter and co. became living spirits. Because he became a life-giving spirit. And he gave life to them. And then they became alive. Their lungs were working before. But Jesus took them one by one, breathed upon them, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Literally, receive holy breath. The way I gave it to Adam at the beginning. Now there is a new life I'm giving to you people now. Where's the story going? Satan is at work again. That's where I'm going. He's at work again. He's at work again with the determination, the same determination to corrupt the seed of God. He hasn't changed. He has not changed. He still has that same determination. So each of us will now make up our minds. We'll let him succeed, or we are determined to make him fail. That is the question. We'll make him allow him succeed, or we make up our minds that he must fail. Listen to this. The strategy has not changed. It's still temptation. The strategy has not changed. It's still temptation. I said something earlier. Pastors sometimes without realizing it. First, I said, look, this whole world, everything is a strategy. Are you getting my point? Yeah, everything. Look, see, you may not realize it. See, you follow, you're on Twitter, you're working everything, you are this, you are that, you know, you go to WhatsApp channels, you use Facebook, you use TikTok, whatever it is. Do you know one man said something once? There's one Arab guy that does videos. I saw, he showed something. He said TikTok. Now, I didn't personally verify, but there's a spirit I want to explain. He said TikTok. That what they show to the same demography in China, it's not the same thing they show to the same demography in Europe or America. That if you are young, maybe you're a teenager, you're in your early 20s, a single person, or you're a child, maybe early teens, you come to Twitter, to TikTok, they see your profile, what they instinctively show you is how Chinese people are doing great things. You see Chinese inventors. You see Chinese workers. You see Chinese. You see them. They are inspiring you. As you are scrolling, you have been inspired. He said, but if you log in with the same general information, age and all of that, but from Europe, It's all jokes, mockery, you know, things, you know, they just waste your time. You start seeing people doing silly things, silly pranks. Pranks. All they do is pranks. That is, basically, they are stimulating you to being a useless human being. Who wastes time, who's not innovative, who does not take life seriously. Why? Because long ago, I heard this thing more than 20, what is it? Almost 30 years ago. Noah Woodruff came to preach and he was explaining some things. He said, I don't know whether it's Mao, how many know Chinese history? Mao Zedong, all those people. Anyway, they had a policy. China rising softly, softly. China rising, that's what they use. Softly, softly. And it has worked. When I was a child, the top economies in the world, China didn't come near the, I'm not sure they came near the top 10. Definitely not, they're not in the top 5. When I was young, America was number 1, Japan was number 2. So you see other ones like Germany, UK, they were lining up. Where was China? Now China has dropped everybody. Now they are number 2. Only America is ahead of them. And I can assure you, anyway, let me not say more than that. They're a powerful country, don't get me wrong. But they rose softly, softly. They rose softly, softly. They determined that they will be the manufacturing capital of the world. And they achieved it. Strategy. A friend of mine went to the US. And somebody explained to him. He gave him the time of the day. He said, you should go around campuses. You know, there are a lot of them in the United States. He said, go around campuses at this time of the day. Go and look for the professors and all those big, big scientists and university teachers. So you won't find them. Give them the time of the day. And the man observed that they've all disappeared. Why? Where have they gone? He said, they've gone to teach high school mathematics. They've gone to teach elementary school mathematics and physics. They've gone to teach science to children. You do get my point? A top-level researcher in a university, he goes to teach math to GSS. He goes to teach physics to GSS. Strategy. And it's bearing fruit. Now, see, life, that's physical level. I'm just now to explain something. In the realm of the spirit, that same thing exists. There's a spirit behind all these things. There's a spirit behind all these things. See, Satan will sit down. I pray Christians understand that. You are not here to... you are being manipulated in a warfare that is going on. Satan can decide that, listen, wait. Now, please, this may be true, but it's an illustration, all right? But it may be true. He may decide that this geography, this country... Didn't you hear Rehan Bonnke say this about this country? Didn't you hear Pyelton say these things? Didn't you see the stars? You saw these men coming. What is going on? They said there's a move of God coming out from here. He said, spoil the place. Kill all the firstborn. Kill all the males. Mess everything up. Just scatter it. He said, but if you try to scatter it now, they have strong men. We stand up. Say, weaken them now. Dispossess them of their inheritance. I've told you, when you read news, news is not fact. What you think is just fact is communication of a predetermined emotional reaction to you. I don't know whether you get my point. Information has been given to you, but a conclusion has been drawn for you. Now you follow the facts and they're accurate, but the last thing they added to it is derived. You know what I'm telling you all of this? Don't think that this life is a joke. So when somebody is giving you information, he may not know, she may not know, but in the realm of the spirit, what it will produce has been determined. Let's scatter the church. Satan will start with that. Let's scatter the church. How do you scatter it? Make them focus on the immediate. Get them a gospel that says that whatever they give must produce now. Otherwise, they are not working for God. Tell them that real work for God will show in the kind of car they drive. This guy will take the scriptures, turn it upside down. He will turn your... See, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life will be turned. It's just a change of words. We'll turn lust to prosperity. We'll turn selfish ambition to something like to faith. The pastor comes to preach and says, look, go and check my car. I only drive S-classes and Bentleys with the key from the word. He started focusing your eyes on the things below. Then starts using the letters of the law, the letters of the scripture, I wanted to say, to put a spirit of worldliness into you. He does not even know he's working a strategic assignment. A satanic assignment, I wanted to say. Satan has made up his mind that this church will not advance. See, let me ask you something. I saw one video the other day. I shared it with a few people. And, it was a Jewish rabbi that was speaking. He was talking about the threat, that their greatest threat is from Islamic neighbors. And you know what? He took it from the spiritual angle. He said they have the circumcision. Now, I'm not saying I agree with him totally, but everything he said was true. But listen to this. He said they have the circumcision. He was talking about spiritual power. He said they are descendants of Abraham. He said, and they pray consistently 5 times every day. He says, so no matter how little they bring spiritual power in, he now says something. I said, Jesus is Lord. He said, and they don't care about dying. He said, how do you defeat such a foe? He said, everything needed, they have it. He said, they have the circumcision. They pray. He said, but most importantly, they don't care about dying. He said, how do you defeat such a foe? And listen to me, that is actually scripture. For them to overcome, said they must not love their lives even when faced with death. And listen to this, today, Christians have been told, preserve your life. You need a plan for life preservation. What plan do you have to preserve your life? You married today, what are you going to tell this girl? Her father gave her to you. How you preserve her and her children? What plan do you have? And then your knees start knocking. She doesn't become afraid. Oh, you are pastoring? Where? Listen to me. Nobody pastors there and builds a house. When the children go to school, what are they going to eat? By the time they tell you, worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, with what shall you clothe yourself. You don't know when you depart from the assignment of God and you go to take cover. I use the words of Carmen. Satan will say, next case, this one is closed. And then you go for ministers' conferences, or they teach you how to preserve your life. How can you be having a branch where the offering cannot sustain it? And you call that a branch? That's not a branch. Well, people actually say this. You go and open branch in Ikorodu. How will you get your money back? So you have to open a branch in VI. So in 6 months, you'll have recouped the investment. That's it. People of God, I'm telling you today, that's Satan's plan. He teaches us how to walk away from God's eternal arrangement for victory. And then you are saying, what are you talking about? I'm not done. What Satan's plan is to push into everybody the spirit of the age. Now, but there's something I want to add. Once I explain this, and I will have closed. Please, I hope you are following me. What I've said so far is to let you know that there's a plan out there. You're not working in an open, normal field. You are living a life that's strategically being prepared for victory or for failure. That is for you. Victory, if you walk with God. Failure, if you allow the plan of the enemy to succeed. So the other side has plans to corrupt the plan of God. Now, this is what I want to add to it. In that garden experience, the Lord came to the garden and said, where are you? And the man said, we heard your voice and we went to hide because we realized we were naked. And what did he say? Two questions. One, who told you you were naked? Please note that question very well. But the second one is my message. What's the second question? Have you eaten of the tree of which I told you not to eat? Two critical questions. The second one most important. First, who told you were naked? Somebody had to tell you. The concept of being naked is not innate. You had to learn it from somewhere because you did not know any other thing before. That's why children run around. They don't understand. Until you start and they come on, you are a boy now. Go and wear your knicker. You have to tell the child you are naked. Otherwise, what's his problem? That's how the man was. That's how his wife was. So God said, who told you? Somebody had to tell you there was a problem with not owning your house at this age. Yeah. I've heard testimonies. One lady was telling my wife once, she wanted to get married. When the lady she went to visit, by the time that one was done with her, she didn't want to marry her husband to be again. Yeah. Painted the perfect picture of what a man should be. And the girl realized that this man is not like that. My wife knows what I'm talking about. This is what the husband will do for you. It's not. No, please. When I get to this right now, no, I'm not very popular. So, but I'll keep on saying what I'm trying to say. Are you getting my point? See, a husband's primary job, his primary job is not to take care of his wife. His primary job is to have direction and have focus. And he and the wife are supposed to solve problems. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
You are a satanic girl if you go around looking for the man that will take care of you. Satan is working on your matter. That is, Satan said, how do I end this one's destiny? Tell her she needs the man that will take care of her. If you go for a conference, I see women preachers, they do it. See, if a man wants to marry you, he has a man and say, see, you don't have a serious destiny. That's why you talk nonsense like that. There are two things you need in a man. Young women, let me tell you, just two. We can add three or four to it to amplify the same thing. But there are two main things. Now, we're not saying you must be a Christian. If we are discussing that one, we have not started a discussion. We're not supposed to be here, thank you. We're not supposed to be here. So you know. Alright? You already know that, don't you? It's like me saying that, look, it should be a human, but don't marry a monkey. Do you care for anything? So let's leave that one. We're not talking about that. There are two things. One, does the man have focus and direction? That's one. Number two, is he a responsible person? That's all. See, anybody with those two can never be poor in life. It will never happen that they won't be able to take care of their responsibilities. A man that has focus, he has direction, and is responsible. I don't care how rich a guy is who's chasing you. Eh? If he can't find his keys, he doesn't know how he spent last salary. Are you getting my point? Anything they put in his hand, anytime you see him and his pastor, they're always fighting. Why? He's supposed to open the church door. The keys with him. Eh? They say open the door by 6. So that, are you following my point? Service is by 8. And he opens the door at 8:15. So the whole church is waiting outside. Especially when he said, why did he come late? He said, I'm so sorry, sir. I stood up at night to watch El Clasico. I now overslept. See, once you watch that kind of quarrel between him and his pastor 3 times, tell him, I want to pray. And please, I've already answered for God for you. Don't marry him. I don't care. Maybe what's worrying you is that he drives a nice car and his father is rich and he has left him a house in Independence layout. All right? That guy will sell that house within 2 years of your marriage. Leave that in. And you will have a big investment to invest it inside. You'll be watching like this. 100 million naira. You will invest it. At the end of 2 years after the investment, you are owing 20 million. You. No, that's after, of course, he's already wasted the 100 million. That's why you now remember what I said, that I should have known. Ordinary church key, he couldn't hold it. He wants to now hold your destiny. But if you see a man that when they say church key, is in your hand. So you call him early morning. Hey, Emeka, he said, Please, I don't know, when you are going to church, can you stop and carry me? So he arrives at your house with his motorcycle. Do you get my point? At 5 a.m., 5:30. I've not even woken up. Okay, see, I am the one. It's okay, you wait for me. At 5 minutes to 6, he knocks on your door. Have you finished getting ready? I'm coming now. He doesn't see anything. He goes outside and rides off. Gets to his church, past 6, opens the door, puts everything in order. Other workers start arriving. Thereby, 7:30, service is ready. 8, bam, they take off. You now walk in at 8:30. And I say, Angela, how far? Don't talk to me. Why should I talk to you? You left me. Yes, now I will leave you. You're supposed to carry me. Okay. 5:45. We never bath finish. Can't you see that if I waited for you, 7:00, I would not have left that place. And I would not leave the service hanging because of you. Say, yeah, if you love me, you will wait. Then they say, I don't love you. Let me tell you the truth. Marry him. You see, I've told you last time, it's how Christ loves the church. It's not how romantic people love their husband, love their wife. See, marry the guy. What did I say? See, you may not enjoy romance too much, but you will achieve destiny. You know, some women are willing to sacrifice destiny for romance. And if you're like that, you are working for Satan. You hear what I say? A lot of people are doing satanic, but they don't know. That's the kind of man you should marry. See, you left me. Excuse me. I told you we were going to church. You said I should carry you to go to church. I told you I am a key church worker. Not only am I key, I hold the key. Thank you. I wasn't even thinking of that. Thank you. Like I told you, stop using silly things to test whether somebody loves you or he doesn't. I mean, it's not good. I'm supposed to go and preach somewhere and I want to carry you along because we are planning to get married and you want me to be late. To prove, you know, it's a satanic way of testing whether you are more important than my ministry. It's a certain way of testing. And as a man, I need to let you know the ministry is more important than you. Why? Because you and I are supposed to go and walk. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The reason why God gave you to me as a wife is that two of us can serve him. How will suddenly the work we're supposed to do will now wait till it's convenient for you? I told you, what's the name of this our guy? Charles Finney. Charles Finney got married. So he told his wife, please, I'm coming. Let me go and get my book. The girl didn't see him for 6 months. It was not planned. A modern bride, she has filed for divorce before you come back. Abandonment. And when the family people gather, church people, what happened? Pastor, you wouldn't believe. You know, after the wedding that day, you know, we traveled, you know, he said... The way women clean their eyes, funny. You know why they clean eyes like that, guys? Don't know. You know how you clean your own face? It's not your fault. You didn't put makeup there. When you keep put makeup, you dab gently. This makeup kit my wife uses, they even sell what you use to clean your face. It's so differently. You know how they do it? They have this special tissue that removes sweat and oil from the face without removing the makeup. Oh, some of these single guys don't know. They don't know anything. To look nice is expensive. We said the last time. Not only is it expensive, it requires a lot of self-discipline. Woman will start in front of the mirror in 1 hour, finish everything. You now come and use one wipe to remove everything. Lie. It's you boys that do like that. I don't wipe this face tired today. If I was a female preacher, this handkerchief, it cannot be handkerchief. You have special things. I will preach like that. Hallelujah. Father God, I have to be a man. Thank you. Now, what I'm saying is that, you know, the woman will cry. Pastor, do you know he left. And I'll be sending him text messages saying he's sorry. They couldn't reply because he was busy. So pastor will turn to him and say, so what were you doing? Say, sorry, sir. Thank you for asking. When I got to Abaki that day, they saw me. They said, Pastor Dami, welcome. The young people here will be looking for who will give them direction. God has sent you. Sir, I couldn't let that go. They say it's a 1 week program. And it's morning and night. Should I leave that and come and be attending to wife? The poor of nursing, let him that marries live like he's not married. It's okay, that's the first week. So what happened after? One brother there, the fifth day of the program,
He traveled to Ugep. He went to Ugep or even Oron. You know, he went to Oron. And they went and told them what is going on. That's when they called me and they sent a car. And I called her that I will soon be back at the end of the week. So I was, and the Holy Spirit was moving. In fact, everybody, half of the village gave their lives to Christ. Now there are three churches that started in that second place. Pastor said, okay, so that's the first 1 month you've explained. The second month, Uncle, I actually was on my way home. And I, make a long story short, that was what happened to Chasini. For 6 months, his wife didn't see him. When there was no phone call, the only way was you could send telegrams and send letter that somebody would deliver by a horse. Make of it what you want to make. I won't say more than that. But that's why Charles Finney is Charles Finney. That's it. What am I talking about? That's the kind of man you marry. Men, my name has been spoiled in society. They say that Pastor Banky says that men are not supposed to be nice. I didn't say so. I just said put things in order. What did I say? Put things in order. Put them in order. Don't marry lover boy that doesn't have purpose. That's what I'm telling you. Don't marry lover boy that's not responsible. Please, a single man, the man he wants to marry, cannot account for his money. Don't marry him. See, anytime he needs something, he has to call his mother whether she can give him something small. Because he wants to take you out. If you marry him, you're a goat. A she-goat. the man says, okay, we are going somewhere. He calls me. Mom, see, how far now? Angela is here, please. I don't know. Can you just wire me something? It's not bad. Just can't marry yet. I'm not saying you should be rich, oh. I'm not saying you must come with a card. Please, prepare the money you worked for and enter a keke. It's good. It's righteous. It is good and righteous. I'm telling you, ladies, I'm being honest with you. Don't let anybody come and deceive you. After the car, the guy is driving. Nothing wrong with you dashing your son a car. God gives me money. I dash my children cars. That's not what I'm talking about. But the child, the car that wants you to lose your head, did he buy it? Somebody gave it to him. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But you don't sacrifice destiny because somebody's going to drive you comfortably for the first 2 years of life. That's what I'm saying. Destiny is more important. Purpose is more important. That's what I've said. People will come and misquote you. I didn't know. Look, when God has now blessed the man, are you getting my point? Now people are complaining. Some people are flying private jet for 100 miles distance. Why didn't they drive? I can pay. Say, but I emitting carbon dioxide. You that's breathing. Are you emitting carbon dioxide? You will get to that point in life when you can do that. But God will never prioritize your comfort over his destiny for your life. He will never do that. I'm trying to explain something. I've not gotten there. Who told you you were naked? Like I said, that's not the most important question. It's that second question. Have you eaten? Listen to me. Satan is talking every day. Now, I explain this. Maybe I leave it here. I may come back to it or I may not. But this is very critical. Every day, Satan is talking, but you can't hear it. Satan is trying to mislead you, but you can't hear it. Satan says, you're naked, but he didn't hear. Hello? Hello? Adam, Eve, you guys are naked. They didn't hear. Go and cover yourself. They did not hear. They said, let's change the strategy. For them to hear, they have to eat. For them to hear, they have to eat. So he went to persuade them. Eating was not the only thing. After you have eaten, now you can hear my voice. I don't know whether I hear my voice. See, the voice you can hear is the issue. The voice you can hear is the issue. Satan was talking all the while. They couldn't hear. You're naked. It made no difference. Then all of a sudden, they started hearing clearly. You're naked. They dressed up. Go this way. They went. God said, you must have eaten something. If you don't eat, my sheep would only have been hearing my voice. And that is where the temptation of Satan came in. What I want to say is very funny. Something made me think. I just have to tell you the story, okay?
See, I will give you some facts. Then I will tell you a sequence of events that never happened. But recently, my wife and I analyzed. I said, this is the kind of thing that will have happened. I magnify my office, all right? But I give the Lord praise. I thank him. I give him all the glory. Every day I go around, people tell me how the word of God has transformed their lives. You may not know us, may not come to Kingdom Word, but let me tell you something, sir. Please continue what you are doing. This is the reason why. You know, they keep on talking. People tell me once, some people, they gather in Abuja. Anytime we are preaching, they gather to come and hear together. I told the testimony of one brother. He went to Abuja, he heard somebody talk. He came to Enugu to share the testimony directly with me. He came to one of our programs about 3 years ago. He said he heard somebody talk. He went to a car shop in Abuja and heard the man talking. And he listened to the guy. The guy was talking to the car shop owner. And he tapped him and said, you sound like somebody that listens to Pastor Banky. And that one turned. I said, you know Pastor Banky? He said, yes, I do. Both of them brought out their devices. That's what they were listening to. And the one was in Abuja, one came from Nasarawa. They hugged each other and became friends. So I just heard the fellow talk. One day, Pastor Kimute was on radio. A lot of people tell me that they think I'm the one talking. I said, no, I'm not the one. But this man knew me very well. He was driving through town. He listened. He said, this guy sounds like Pastor Banky, but he's not the one. But I'm sure he listens to him. So he called me. He said, I was driving through Enugu. I heard a young man on radio. He sounded like you, but I knew it was not you. But I'm sure he listens to you. I said, well, that's Pastor Kimute. We pastor together in Kingdom God. He said, yes, I told my people so. The first day I met Dean Woke, I didn't even know who he was. He was talking on radio. My wife and I were listening to the radio. He talked and talked and talked. I told my wife, this guy listens to us. I never met him in his life. He was in Nsukka on radio, talking, a live program. I don't know how we just stumbled into it that morning. And my wife and I were listening. My wife looked and said, no, this is one of your people. It was later on, I met him and I asked him about it. He said, yes. Yeah, okay, there's a radio program, he features there. I said, hey, that was the first day. I said, I heard you on radio. Do you get my point? So I give God the glory. It's not a plan. I didn't have that such a plan. I can continue telling you stories. One guy went somewhere in Nsukka. I was coming to preach, so he went there. So he saw where they put the pulpit. He called them and said, Pastor Banky will not stand on that thing. We had never met. We had never seen each other. He said, bring that pulpit from that position. Put it here because he will not stay there. So he looked at him. Are you part of his team? He said, no. So they ignored him. I arrived. They introduced me. I walked up. I said, why is this not up here? Please bring it down. How should I climb up there? Please bring it here. He started laughing. Later he came to greet me, introduce himself. He said, I told them to bring that thing down. They asked me how I knew. As soon as I came in, first I said, hey, please. Why are you treating me? I better bring that thing from up there. And he burst into laughter. To the glory of God, people have heard me and made critical decisions, change their lives, change their thoughts, change all kinds of things. Why? Because the Spirit rides upon the words. If you think Satan likes it, you don't know anything. Satan doesn't like it. He hates the idea. I'm trying to corrupt people. What are you doing, infusing the Spirit of God into them? Listen to this. I said the last time, when God starts moving, Satan notices. He may not know what he's doing. He sees wise men coming from the east. And they're asking, where is this boy that's been born? So what does he say? Go and kill all of them. They saw a star. Ah, so he knows when things are being born. He may not know exactly the details. So he normally takes precaution. Let me not tell you the story. My wife and I just remembered it a few days ago, and something led to it. I was analyzing it again. When I first got to Enugu, before I acquired my, to the glory of God, reputation. One young girl did something to me once. And I was like, brilliant student, oh. She wasn't looking for Mark. I won't give you some details because they sound rather vulgar, so I won't. But did one thing for me. Walked up to me one day. I was talking to a friend of mine when she just nicely edged my friend away and her friend kept on moving and came. Good afternoon, sir. He said, you should come and take that lecture tomorrow. Sorry, sir, I will not be available. Can I come and see you privately later so I can take mine? I'll come and see you privately. You give me my own lecture privately. What do you say? I hope it's okay with you, sir. He said, if I behave like you fool. So I said, that's going to be difficult, don't you think? How many are you in the class? See, if everybody says they don't have time for my class and they come, I have to treat them privately, don't you think I'm going to wear out? Of course, I'm not an idiot. But that's of my way of telling you you're a fool. So I walked up and told my friend, did you see that? He said, I was wondering. I said, some people have a seductive spirit too. This was shortly after I came to Enugu, like the first 2 years. And then we entered my office one day. Excuse me, sir. I don't know what I have to do. This class, this subject, I just have to pass it. I said, it's very easy. You will have to read. What are you talking about? I can do you favors. You come. You, but an assignment. You write essay. I correct it. I point out. I have small groups. I discuss with people. You join them. Now, you see where I'm going with the whole story. Please, guys, listen. That's why I said read the book, Worship and Sex Control. In the three books, let me not stick on that. See, you see a young woman, I don't know what she's looking for. All right? So maybe the young man that I was is a fool. And read the Bible, it calls him a fool. That he follows her, does not know he's following to his death. But a lot of men don't know. They think it's just about sex. The man is going to have fun. His wife won't know. Her people won't know. Maybe her friends will know. They'll be playing with you later on when they are gisting, but that's not the gist. What you think is that it ends there, but it's not. And that's what I'm trying to teach you. My wife and I sat down and said, what was that supposed to happen? Now, I told you, that's fact, that happened. What I want to tell you now, I had to work it out. And I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. You know what will have happened? The girl will have had her way, you'll have had your way. You're married. She's not trying to take your... She was never interested. Your wife is funner than her. She wasn't interested at all. Then you go. Now, listen to what I want to say. And then she logs your soul on a rack. She's gone. The job is done. 2 years later, you start Kingdom World Ministries. They don't have a problem with it. You can start Kingdom World Ministries. That's not a problem. It's the spirit you release from the pulpit that matters. A man comes to you later and says, this ministry can grow and grow fast. And you will say, what do you mean by that? See, there's a way we do it. It gives you strategies. And then when you grow and you blow, you'll be able to help more people. Now you tell me that, I tell you get out. Right? But if things have gone the other way, you'll like say, sit down please, my brother. Go ahead. Who told you were naked? Who told you the ministry was small? You listen to him, why? Because you have been eating a fruit you were not supposed to participate in. It turns your ears. You start hearing all kinds of counsel. The next time Pastor Bani comes to pulpit, he says, I have a special grace this morning to make everybody millionaires. You come forward with 1 million, and 50 people will come out with 1 million. I will have money. The ministry will be big. I will move in a convoy. Why? You slept with a young girl 7 years ago, and you've forgotten. So anytime they need it, they take your soul from the rack, rewrite a doctrine, and key it in. You will preach it. That is what they call witchcraft. You will preach it. Somebody told me the other day, one of my sisters, we're talking about some things. Told me about the problems she was having with her brother. So I said, where did this start from actually? What did you do? Real family rift. I said, what did you do? What did he say you did? He said, nothing. No. But you see, there's this church he goes to. They told him, I'm a witch. And I said, how did he get there? He said, well, there's this wife he has. He just married her. The other wife, they quarreled and she's left. Then this one, she just came home one day. Next thing we heard, the girl was pregnant. I said, yeah. I screamed. I said, yeah. Stop sleeping around. I said, your brother slept with a witch. He did not know. He said, what? I said, yes. He said, now, I said, yes. Now he's walked away from his wife. Yes. Now they are married. Yes. He said, he didn't want to marry her. He said, the family is too diabolical. I said, it is clear he's under a spell. How did this start? That's why I told the story of the oath by Frank Peretti. He couldn't hear the voice of other spirits. So they said, no. Do you have a Moabite girl? They said, we do. Send her for the ceremony. And as he came, you're welcome, sir. Can I help your bag? Help you with your bag? You're welcome, sir. Can I get you food? You're welcome, sir. You've been nice and nice and nice. And show up at night. I hope you are comfortable. Just came to be sure everything is okay. Can I stay with you just this week for 5 minutes? And the idiot allows. By next morning, he is no longer in control of himself. And that's where I'm going with the message. That's why I said, start with who, read the book. Who is someone is controlling you? Many preachers who are preaching nonsense, it's not like they don't understand doctrine. It's a girl they've slept with. They could understand doctrine.
They are not stupid. These boys were preaching word of faith. They know Kenneth Hagin like I do. They listen to all these men. But there's somebody lied to them that it doesn't matter. Nobody will know. They don't understand that these girls are not going around. You see, you are waiting for a witch. I've told you, witches are not in the village. When the Winlows did their movie, Prophet Suddenly, I enjoyed it. But there are some things I wish they had done slightly differently. Okay? I'm not going to analyze it now. But generally, when I saw that movie, I said, what I wanted them to do differently, to be more in tune with real life, is that most times, the girl won't run their lives, like that one was doing. They won't even know how they connected. In real life, you will not sleep with Mio Kuku Sheshe, because she's a spirit. You will sleep with one of her girls. And the Mio Kuku Sheshe will come when he's talking to you as a senior minister. An old prophet, thank you. He's not going to come as that evil spirit. That girl's job will just be to put the hook. She'll put the hook. Those who are pulling it are different. My wife and I sat and analyzed it. Pastor Bank, why did you resist? Now I go back now. It's the Holy Spirit. I didn't think it was anything. But for me not to think was a temptation. It was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not that I say, No. Please, people, let's not brag that God didn't give us. Without him, you can do what? Nothing. You can't resist the smallest sin. You can't resist the smallest sin without him. You can't. What is the message I'm preaching? I'm watching my time. The real message I'm preaching today is how the spirit of the age puts the hook into people. I've given sex as an example. He does it, but less effectively with money. Yeah, with money. It's not as effective. Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. I explain all of this inside there. It does it, but less effectively with money. Let me tell you something about Christianity, so get in mind. See, please. All this doctrine of you can control when prosperity will come. Please, go and flush it down the toilet. In my book, Good Enough, by God's mercies, just pray along. By the end of this month, we'll have some copies of the second edition of Grace to Prosper. All right? You'll be ready. In that book, there's a chapter there titled The Vow of Poverty. Please go and read The Vow of Poverty. See, poverty is not the worst thing that happens to a Christian. I don't have a car, I don't have a house, I don't have this. It's nothing. I better wake up to the reality that it's nothing. See, a Christian must have something to show. Please leave that thing. God will supply all your needs. Be happy with that. God is not competing on the quality of cars and the size of houses. No doctrine should preach to you. You know what I'm saying? So, a Christian who is starting out should get ready. You are dead meat already. You have died for Christ. Christians die for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was pleasing to God. We heard that rubbish doctrine those days that is because there are certain revelations he didn't have. There are revelations he did not need. How would they have made him more effective? He said, you want those who dress well? He said, go. They are in king's palaces. Jesus was the one giving commentary on the man's life. He said, what did you go out to see? You went to see a prophet. He said, more than a prophet. He said, of all men, born of women, that's Antichrist Jesus, none was as great as John. Elijah was born of a woman. Moses, Samuel, Daniel, they were all born of women. So don't joke with that man you saw. He lived just for about 30-something years, and then he died. Why? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. He was not planning to have a ministry that ran parallel with that of Jesus Christ. So leave that thing. I'm preaching for any doctrine that if he had some revelations, he would say, John, Herod, I'm not John the Baptist. Are you making it look like you know more than John the Baptist? Get out. John the Baptist was not killed by Herod. God took John the Baptist. Read your scriptures very well. Jesus waited till John the Baptist was taken out of the way before he started preaching publicly. Before that, he was gathering disciples and they were baptizing. But the Holy Spirit in him had known, I can't start preaching until John is gone. And you must understand, Paul said that, John was speaking concerning Peter. He said by this, God was indicating the kind of death he will die to glorify God. So Paul said, whether by death or by living, as long as we are pleasing to him, God knew why he wanted the blood of those martyrs shed. So please don't be bringing revelation of worldliness. When you love the world so much, you start preaching things. After you've been eating fruit, you're not supposed to eat. Sometimes some people preach some things. I tell my wife, I say, you don't know what this man has been eating, leave him. When a pastor is this, is when scripture is so not clear to him, you come to class, say, praise God, today, I want to show you that 2 plus 2 is equal to 16. Amen. You see, and you start there, you are like one brother called me one day. He was talking about one preacher. He said, Pastor, I saw this old man sweating. It was where he said he was sweating. Sweating to prove what cannot be proven from scripture. He's a young guy. One of our brothers here. Not a small boy, I mean, like, those are the first generation of kingdom world people. He said, sir, see this old man. There's one man that's preaching one funny doctrine in the country. He said, I saw him sweating. He said, what happened? When you see a man sweating like that, ask him, what did he eat? See, let me explain something to you. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. It wasn't a bragging right as a son of God. It was that I did not eat anything that he offered. Someone said, go and check my house. What did I take from anybody? I've coveted nobody's goods. Paul said later, silver and gold. I didn't take anything from you. I hope you're getting my point. When Satan is coming, he needs to have something. Let me say this, all right? Please, I'm trying to round off. Listen to this carefully. In every generation, you see a kind of iniquity that's pervasive. Yesterday we were talking about it, Yinka and I. And he said, corruption. No, it's called corruption in Nigeria. He said he thought it was just public sector. He said private sector. That the kind of corruption, what happened, that he helped somebody with something. Okay, let me give you a bit of a gist. One man was overbilled by the tax authority. And you know he's a tax consultant and he helps people out with solve those. So he had to go help the guy. I ran out with the tax authorities. Part of the problem the guy had was the volume of business he was doing was not commensurate with the tax he was paying. So they billed him heavily. That was when the guy and I explained. Say, guys, let me tell you guys the truth. I work for this big company. I do contracts for them. Say, but they triple the amount regularly. No, think about now. It is not MTN. It's not a telecom company. I just want to use as an example. So imagine I go to MTN. They say, come and replaster this wall for us. And I tell the old guys, my bill is 1 million. He said, Nabera, 5 million. What's wrong with you? And the guy will write 5 million. And they will pay him, they'll give him the 5 million. They have to give them 3.5 back. He can take 1.5. He's a big company. The old guys just won 20 million there for the weekend. So that's how the guy got into trouble. Because there were so much transactions going on. But he wasn't making money. So that's why they had to try and explain. So Inka told me that. He said, sir, private sector. I said, sit down there. You're talking about private sector. One of our brothers works for a company. He told me, he said, sir, how does a man steal from himself? There's public sector corruption. There's private sector corruption. Then the one in which you own the company. What do you call it? Self-sector, exactly. Self-sector corruption. This brother put his head, he said, sir, I don't get it. He said, the man will just carry 5 million and disappear. I said, 5 million naira. He said, no, now, how about? I said, oh, guys, my company, we don't deal in naira. He said, I mean $5 million. And that the man owns the company. Stealing from other, of course, it's investor money and all of that. Company that if you built to be big, you will become an international big player. He's stealing. What am I talking about? Brethren, if you don't want the spirit of the age in your life in Nigeria, you will fight personal corruption like your life depends on it. Please, I'm begging you, if you are a policeman and you're a Christian, you can't take a bribe. Listen, if you're a government official, you cannot take inflated contract money. I'm giving to you directly. When they are sharing money, don't take. When they steal money, they want to take government money, say, I will not eat it. If they pressure you too much, I'll give you the direct word, resign and get out. It is not the money. It is the spirit of the age seeking control over your life. The Bible says it's a spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. The spirit is working. They can't help but disobey. The spirit is working. They cannot help but disobey. The spirit is working. It's not them. You can't obey if that spirit is working in you. And the spirit knows. So what he does is that, how do I get into him? That is my message today. I think I feel good now. I can rest. At least be aware. Two things I mentioned. That's why, let me just say this. Why do you think in Israel, they went to join themselves to Baal of Peor? And one Israelite man took a Moabite woman and brought into the camp. Listen to this. Murder is bad. Killing is bad. Yet, Phinehas took a spear, killed a man and a woman, and God said, I will reward his generations. What you don't know is that in science, we call it a mutagen. You've watched movies on zombie. Have you ever seen a zombie movie? I remember one I saw when I was very young. Those zombies, when they bite you, that's when the spirit enters. So they were fighting, the normal people. So one of his friends got bitten by a zombie. So they quickly killed the zombie, dressed the wound, squeezed out the blood, dressed the wound very well. What I remember was the other guy. So all of them went to sleep. He did not sleep. He had his gun beside him. And he smoked throughout the night. He was watching his friend sleeping. You know what happened? He knew he had been beaten. I watched when I was younger. Not after telling more than 30 years ago. So he was sitting down there. He couldn't sleep. That he mustn't sleep. He kept smoking. He had the gun beside him. He was watching that guy. Then sometime maybe around 2 a.m., that guy suddenly woke up and sat up. You saw his face. He had transformed to a zombie. Shot him in the head. Everybody else woke up when they heard the gunshot. They woke up. Their good friend was dead. They picked him up and went and buried him. And appreciated what Phinehas just did. Do you get the point? They loved the guy. He was one of their fellow fighters. But he had been beaten. And they knew there was nothing else they could do. That was why God rewarded Phinehas. Because he knows the spirit that's entering into the camp. Pastors, again, be careful. When you honor some people so much because they bring money, and you know the money is not dry, it's not clean, you know what I'm saying? They're not dry and well. It's not sterile. And you consciously collect. You are being beaten by the zombie spirit. You may not know. Next year, your doctrine will change. See, let me leak a secret to you. Once I start preaching something that you never heard me preach before, that starts sounding like some of our people, starts telling that scripture doesn't know what he's saying, John does not know what he's saying. Say, grace, don't worry. Even if you have 10 wives, grace covers all of them. Just go and ask my wife, Ma, what are you people eating now? A lot of pastors, you know, that's where they lose it. Let me tell you something. Once you make this growth and prosperity your aim in life, you will miss God. You see, I finished my message. I'm just with you. Once you make growth and prosperity your aim in life, did I say you will miss God? You have already missed God. You have. You're preaching sound doctrine, you think, but you have missed God. It's a matter of time, it will show. It's a matter of time, it will show. Please let me let you go. I think I've said what I'm supposed to say. The rest, the Holy Spirit will develop in this person's heart. Bow your heads and say, say what you have to say. I don't know what you will say. Say, Lord, though, see, I will follow you to the end. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the one that will be saved. So say to the Lord, I will follow you till the end. Say to the Lord, I will follow you till the end. You need to say to the Lord, I will follow you till the end. That's it. Say, Lord, every place, that's an important prayer. Every place where I've allowed the spirit of the age to enter, Lord, I repent and I cut it off this morning. I repent and I cut it off this morning. Say, Lord, I repent and I cut it off this morning. Say to the Lord, I will follow you till the end. Say, Lord, I will follow you till the end. Say to the Lord, I will follow till the very end. You need to say that to the Lord. The Lord, I will follow till the end. Just pray it like this. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. That's what righteousness does. The Bible says it delivers from death. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.